You're listening to Linux News Log, separating the Linux and open source signal from the noise.
Hey everybody, how's it going? I am your host Adrian, coming to you almost live from lovely Petaluma, California, here in Studio MC2 at QuickSurf Internet Studios. Linux News Log is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Do feel free to head on over to techpodcast.com and check out all the other technology-related shows over there as well. I'd like to encourage everybody to subscribe to the show if they have not already done so. For those of you who are longtime audience members of the show, thank you for staying subscribed. For those of you who are just now discovering the show, or maybe you've listened to or watched a couple of episodes, if you're viewing this on YouTube, please do subscribe in the link up above me. And if you're coming to the show over at our website over at quicksurf.com, every episode that I post has links to subscribe to either an MP3 feed, an Ogg Vorbis feed, a standard def, and also a high def H.264 feed. Each one of those has a feed respectively. And so you can subscribe to the show with whatever software, subscription-based software you prefer, be it iTunes or Bashpod, or if you're in Linux or something of that nature. So anyway, with that being said, let's go ahead and get into the stories for this episode. Starting off over at geek.com, Valve starts promoting Steam for Linux to Windows users. Steam is now being used by thousands of gamers running a Linux OS, and Valve has got to the point where they are happy to start urging Windows users to make the switch. Proof of that comes from the screenshot you see above, and there's a screenshot here on the website. It's the Steam website, and placed prominently near the top of the page is a Join the Beta promotion suggesting that you try Steam for Linux. There's even a download link to get Ubuntu 12.04 long-term support, which removes yet another barrier to entry. So this is awesome. You know, gaming has always been, you know, I love playing games. Gaming has always been, I don't always have a lot of time to play games, but I love playing games. Regardless, I digress. Gaming has always been kind of one of those things that, you know, on Linux, there's been Linux games, but, you know, getting like, you know, mainstream games on Linux has always been kind of a challenge. And so this is one of those things where it's like it's a great opportunity for Linux to finally come into its own when it comes to games. I love it. So, you know, more to come. From Engadget, Intel publishes 13 Linux benchmarks to help speed test distros. This is kind of neat. With the occasional exception, Intel has offered healthy Linux support in recent years. Proof positive may be a gift to the community this weekend. The Open Source Technology Center over at Intel has just gave Phoronix 13 miniature OS level Linux benchmarks that it has previously reserved for its own use. The tests are humdrum affairs like decompression tests and that sort of thing, but they could give significant lift to developers testing distributions. You know, this is one of the things, you know, you don't, unless you have a good way of benchmarking stuff, you don't really know, you know, where your performance is and where you even really need to, make performance changes. So this is great. Long time coming, it's one of those things where it's like, I really wish Intel had done this, you know, a long time ago, but now that they are doing it, good for them. From Engadget as well, Fedora 18 Spherical Cow brings Linux fans a taste of cinnamon and a new installer. Fedora 18's release kind of slipped just past my release date for the last episode, so I didn't really talk about it then, but it is now available. Engadget and classic Engadget starts off the story here. Fedora's Linux distribution may be competing with Ubuntu for the title of silliest update name, but that doesn't diminish the impact of what are often significant revisions. And this is true. Fedora usually is significant revisions from one distribution to the version to the next. So anyway, it gives a little bit of a rundown of what's in the new Fedora 18. If you are a Fedora user, by all means, please go check it out. I'd love to, it's been a while since I've actually tried out Fedora, so I'd love to hear any kind of feedback from anybody in the audience if they're running Fedora 18. You know, what's great about it, what's not so great, you know, what needs work, etc. You can shoot me an email, linux@quicksurf.com. And that's quicksurf.com. From Network World over in the Linux Tycoon blog, new Linux tools or Mac OS X for video editing. This, I'm including this story because this has been like a, kind of a pain point for me. You know, this may come to a surprise to some of you in the audience. This is not a surprise probably to many longtime listeners, but as much as I would love to do the show and master the show and record the show and do all the editing and basically produce Linux Newslog on a Linux platform, I don't. And one of the main reasons why I don't is because, as this article starts off, video editing on Linux has, for the expanse of recorded history, sucked eggs. This isn't a terribly big secret. You know, I'm sorry, but video editing on Linux is terrible. It sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. If I'm doing just audio only, audio editing using Audacity on Linux is actually, you know, fairly decent. But, you know, video editing, you know, and this is something I've really struggled with. You know, I'd love to be able to produce the show in Linux, but to date, you know, it's been a struggle. Anyway, this story, you know, basically points out a new video editor that I may take a look at. It's called the OpenShot Video Editor. I'm not sure if I will make the jump to OpenShot Video Editor, if it really is, in fact, a good video editor, partially because I'm pretty heavily invested in the workflow that I have now using the software that I use now on OS X. So, I don't use Final Cut Pro or any of that other stuff. It's all Adobe Creative Suite on OS X. So, you know, have a pretty significant investment just in the workflow that I have to produce the show. I don't know if I would just switch over to OpenShot Video Editor at this point, just for the sake of it, unless it was just really, really compelling. So, but it's definitely something I want to take a look at for sure. Anyway, for anybody else who, you know, thinks that video editing on Linux sucks eggs, this is definitely something you want to take a look at. We'll see how it turns out as time goes on. From the H Open over at h-online.com, AMD's Linux drivers offer improved gaming performance. Version 13.1 of AMD's proprietary Linux graphics drivers apparently fixes a performance issue with Valve games. The new version of Catalyst is also said to solve a similar problem with graphics cards in the Southern Islands generation. Both problems are listed in the resolved issue section of the new version's release notes, although no details are given. So if you are a user of such Catalyst drivers, please do try it out. Let me know. I'll tell everybody else whether or not they work on the next episode. Again, linux@quicksurf.com. From Eon over at eon.businesswire.com, SIOS holds position as the first Linux player in the world to achieve SAP High Availability Interface Certification. Wow. So SIOS Technology Corporation, a leading provider of high availability and data protection software solutions for Linux and Windows, today announced it was the first Linux high availability player in the world to achieve SAP Application Server High Availability Interface certification for its SteelEye Protection Suite, otherwise known as its SPS. So pretty nice. If you're a user of this is something to check out. I thought I'd just make a mention of it here. From geek.com, Chameleon turns your Raspberry Pi into a retro gaming arcade. See how we're going with the gaming theme a little bit here this episode. This I thought was awesome. So essentially what this does is it takes Raspberry Pi. There's some stuff that you need to have. You know, Chameleon is a remix of the Raspbian Linux image, and it removes the X graphical environment and replaces it with a launcher dedicated to running a number of emulators. So pretty neat. Check it out. You know, this is, you know, obviously you can hook this up to a normal TV because Raspberry Pi has HDMI out and all that, you know, even a composite video out, all that good stuff, which is pretty awesome. So, you know, this is definitely something to look into for sure if you're a Raspberry Pi user. And I know we all are Raspberry Pi users, at least not all of us, but a good number of us are. And seeing as Raspberry Pi recently passed the 1 million units shipped mark, which is awesome considering the, you know, magnitude of how inexpensive it is. That will do it for this edition of Linux News Log. As always, everything we've talked about is linked up in the show notes. You can find those online over at quicksurf.com. Also, please do subscribe to the show if you have not already done so. If you have any feedback, you can either leave a comment via email, linux@quicksurf.com, or if you are watching this on YouTube, just leave a comment below here, and I will get back with you. I do monitor the comments, and I'm generally fairly active to respond to any comments that may be there. So with that, I will see all of you on the next episode. Thanks for watching and or listening, and I'll see you then. Bye.